I want you to open your Bibles with me this evening, and I want us to open to a passage of God's Word. I said last Lord's Day evening, we're answering the question this evening. Whenever the Lord Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church," and the Church of Rome says that that means that Peter was the Pope, the first Pope, and therefore he was he's the rock on which the church is built. And we want to answer the question, is that true? What does the Word of God say? Open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And we commence reading at verse number 13. Verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremias, and or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." We end our reading there. We know that God himself will truly add his blessing to the reading of his own precious and his own holy word. Amen. We live in an age of ecumenism. And in that age of ecumenism, we realize that the lines, the clear lines of theological difference between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism, that once was regarded so vitally important that men, yes, even millions, were willing to die rather than compromise or cast the truth aside. Men went to the stake rather than to deny the truth of the Word of God. And yet today the lines are dimmed. And even among so-called evangelicals, as well as many Protestant pulpits today, there seems to be an acknowledgement, and there seems to be a claim that this doesn't really matter anymore. The theological differences don't really matter anymore. Of course, the question would be begged, have those theological differences been resolved? And the answer clearly is no. Those theological differences were so vast and so great that indeed our forefathers protested, and they became those that stood as Protestants or Protestants for the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and against the falsehood of the Church of Rome. And of course, we want tonight to just to look at some, or really one of the claims that Rome really makes. And we want to answer the question, whenever Rome says that Jesus said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail," does that mean that Jesus was saying that the church of Christ was built upon Peter? Now, of course, we're turning to God's Word this evening. And I want you to realize, first of all, what Rome says concerning the Bible. Because we gather here this evening, and our only authority is the Word of God. We have no other authority as a church, as a denomination, but the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. It was Pope Pius VII in 1816 who, whenever he was speaking about Bible societies, he said this. He said that Bible societies were crafty devices by which the very foundations of religion are undermined. They were a pestilence that which must be remedied and abolished. Also another so-called theologian of Rome said, the Reverend Dr. Cahill, in the Roman Catholic tablet which was written in December 17, 1853, on page 804, he said he would rather the Catholic, now listen to this carefully, he would rather the Catholic should read the worst books of immorality than the Protestant Bible, that forgery of God's Word, that slanderer of Christ. And so, my friend, that is the stance which the Church of Rome has taken upon the Bible and upon this blessed book that we have in the pulpit this evening, that they would rather that their people would read the worst book of immorality than to read this, what they term the Protestant Bible, which is God's precious and God's holy Word. That is why, of course, that in actual fact, that in Rome, the Bibles were burnt as recently as 1923 in the public streets of Rome. They burnt the Scriptures of Holy Truth because Rome believed that the Bible was an enemy of their teaching because it was not grounded or founded upon the infallible, inspired Word of the living God. And so tonight, whenever we are considering this, we think of Rome and the Bible. We think of Rome and her claims. If I could only have time tonight to go in and remind you of what blasphemy that Rome claims concerning her priests, and especially her popes. Let me remind you what it said. Pope Pius X said this: the Pope is not only the representative of Jesus Christ, he is Jesus Christ himself, hidden under the veil of the flesh. Does the Pope speak? It is Jesus Christ that speaks. Does the Pope accord a favor or pronounce anathema? It is Jesus Christ who pronounces the anathema and accords the favor. That is absolute blasphemy. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my friend, the Bible says he ascended into heaven and he is at this moment at the Father's right hand. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Pope John the 22nd said, to believe that our Lord God the Pope has not the power to decree as he is decreed is to be deemed heretical. Notice the word that he is called. He is Lord God the Pope. The Word of God says, however, not a bit of wonder they view the Bible as their enemy, because the Bible says, thou shalt have no other God before me. My friend, the Word of God is absolutely clear that there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, even Jesus Christ the righteous. Another title that he takes upon himself is this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, Jesus said, I am the way. No man dare take that name upon himself. He is an imposter. That's why that I believe he is Antichrist. Because he takes upon himself the name that only Christ could say, and the name that only Christ could claim. For Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Think of her claims concerning Mary. In the glories of Mary, it is said this, and remember the writings of Liguori, whenever he was canonized, his writings were declared to be absolutely free from error. And this is what he said about Mary: he who is under the protection of Mary will be saved. He who is not will be lost. Oh, Immaculate Virgin, We are under thy protection. Therefore we have recourse to thee alone. And we beseech thee to prevent thy beloved Son, who is irritated by our sins, from abandoning us to the power of the devil. My friend, that is absolute blasphemy of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ loves the sinner. He so loved the sinner that he died upon the cross of Calvary, and he shed his precious blood that man's sin might be blotted out, never to be remembered against him anymore. And then Liguori went on to write these words, "Thou, Mary, art my only hope, my queen, and my advocate with thy Son, whom I dare not approach." Let me tell you, my friends, we draw nigh to our Lord through the blood of his cross. We have nothing to fear, therefore, being justified by faith, the Bible says, we have peace with God. Hallelujah. We can approach the throne tonight. Glory to God, the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom. Praise God, the hand of God took away the veil. And we can approach freely the throne of grace. And there we shall obtain mercy. And we shall find grace to help in time of need. Friend, Mary is nobody's advocate. Mary is nobody's mediator. For there is one God, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 5. And one mediator between God and man. And the Bible says, the man, Christ Jesus, he is the mediator. Thank God, he's all I need. He's all I have. I need none else. His name is Jesus. But I want us to come directly to the claim concerning this passage of God's Word. And I want you to get your Bibles open tonight, because I want us to stick to what God's Word says and just see exactly what is claimed here and what Rome claims concerning this passage of God's Word. Now let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. And it says there, if you go down to verse number 13 again, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 14, they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias or Elijah. Others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar, or son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so we come directly to this question. What did Christ mean when he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it"? Is the church of Christ built upon Peter? That's a very important question, because there are many souls that are deluded tonight. There are many precious souls that are heading out to God's eternity, and they're relying upon Peter. They're relying upon Mary. They're relying upon the saints. They're relying upon some icon to be their safety, their hiding place, their security, their hope for eternity. It is important that we face this. There are three things that I want to speak to you this evening upon in answer to the question. First of all, the facts concerning Peter. Now, you'll notice that Christ asked his disciples a question. And the question was this: whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they answered him, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Some say that you're Jeremiah. And some say that you're one of the prophets." And then Jesus looked at them and asked them this question. But whom say ye? Whom do you believe that I am? Simon Peter said to him, Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Messiah, the anointed of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Because you see, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven. And then he said this. Mark this carefully. Verse 18. I say unto thee, that thou art Peter. Now the word Peter there in the Greek is the word Petros. And the Greek word Petros means a small stone. A small stone. And the Lord Jesus is saying to Peter that thou art Peter. I say unto thee that thou art Peter. You are that small stone. And then he said this. And upon this rock. Now the word rock is not Petros. The word rock in the Greek is Petra. And it doesn't mean a small stone or a piece of a stone or a piece of a rock. In actual fact, it means a huge rock like the Rock of Gibraltar. And he said, Thou art Peter. And you're just a small stone. But he said, Listen, Peter, upon this rock. Now notice what he didn't say. If you go to verse 19, he says, And I will give unto thee. Now he's speaking to Peter again. But he didn't say in verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon thee I will build my church. He didn't say that. Oh yes, he said in verse 17, flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. He's speaking to Peter there. And in verse 19, he says, And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And we'll come to that, what that means. Because Rome makes a false claim about that as well. But he said, Thou art a small stone, not small, unstable pebble, stone. But he said, Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He didn't say the, he said this rock, the foundation rock upon which the church is built. Now, whenever we think of a modern Catholic apologist, they say that Christ was actually speaking not in Greek, but he was speaking in Aramaic. And therefore Christ was speaking to Peter as the rock. But in so doing, friend, they break a basic Roman Catholic principle. Because in the Tridentine profession of faith, which all Roman Catholic clergy since the days of Pope Pius IV vowed to interpret Scripture only in accordance with the unanimous view of the Church Fathers. Therefore, they couldn't interpret it as they like. But they were to interpret it according to how the Church Fathers did. Now, how did they interpret this passage of God's Word? And that's where Rome has got a problem today, friend. They interpret it exactly as I'm telling you tonight. Thou art Peter, the small stone, and upon this rock. And they believed that the rock was, first of all, the rock was Peter's confession that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the rock was Christ himself. And therefore we find that indeed they're breaking the very interpretation of what they call that every Roman Catholic priest is supposed to interpret it according to the unanimous opinion of the church fathers who really believe that the rock was, first of all, Peter's confession, not Peter. And Peter's confession that Christ was the rock. Now we ask ourselves this question, who is the rock? What does the scripture say? Well, keep your hand there because we're coming back. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy just for a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Let me read some verses from God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 3 and 4. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Verse 4, He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. He is. God is the rock. Now that's what the book of Deuteronomy says. Turn to the book of the Psalms. Go to Psalm 18. Take time, friend. Get a copy of our tape and take time to go through the scriptures and study the scriptures for yourself. Go to the book of the Psalms. Psalm number 18. Read in verse 31 these words. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? Who is a rock save our God? Turn to Psalm 62. In Psalm 62 it says this, Truly my soul waiteth, verse 1, Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Why? Because He is my rock. But it says, He only. He only is my rock. Let me ask a question before we move to the New Testament. Can man be compared to a rock? Is man compared to a rock in the Scriptures? And the answer is no. Let me tell you what the Scripture says concerning man. Turn to the book of the Psalms here. Psalm 144. In Psalm 144, in the verse number 4, it says this. Man is like to vanity. His days are a shadow that passeth away. That's what he is. He's not a rock. He's vanity. He's emptiness. Emptiness of emptiness. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah 17 verse 5 it says, Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Verse 7. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. You can't trust man, friend. He's not a rock. It says, cursed. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So for to say that Peter is a rock, therefore you're trusting in him. No, my friend. The Word of God says God only is the rock. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible tells us there in the verse number 4. And to drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And that rock was Christ. We sang a few moments ago, On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the rock on which the church is built. Not Peter. Thou art Peter. Thou art that unstable stone, little stone. But he said upon this rock, I will build my church. The church is not built upon any man. The church is built upon Christ. He alone is the foundation of the church. He alone is the Savior of mankind. He alone is the answer to our sin. He alone is the Savior of my soul. He alone is the only way to heaven. But did Christ not separate Peter from the rest of them? Let's go back to Matthew's Gospel. Never run away from the Scriptures, friend. Sometimes people get a troubled question and maybe a troubled passage and they just don't answer, they're running from it. No, never run from it, friend. Listen, because this is where Romans points at, verse 18, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Verse 19, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. There they say. There's Peter's unique position. The Lord give to him the keys. Listen, mark this. And whosoever or whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And they say, there it is. Listen, Peter has the power either to bind you or to loose you. And so therefore we see this unique position, this unique promise that was given to Peter, this unique power that was given to Peter. Let me say this tonight. It is a totally unwarranted claim to say that that verse means that Peter was given a unique position or that Peter was given a unique authority over the apostles. Let me say as regards the keys, let me tell you, friend. Just let's look at that. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Tell me, who's got the keys of hell and of death? Who is it, Peter? Peter got the keys. Revelation chapter 1. Verse number 18. Or verse 17. And when I saw him, who's the him, friend? I saw Jesus. John has been given a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he says, and when I saw him, I saw the Lord Jesus. He said, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. He said, I am the first and I am the last. And I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. On the girdle of Christ, my friend, there's the keys. And then somebody says to me, but hold on a second. But Jesus said to Peter, whoever he would bind on earth would be bound in heaven. Whoever he would loose on earth should be loosed in heaven. That means that Peter had a special position above any of the apostles. Does it, friend? Just want to read some of the Bible. Turn to Matthew 18. In Matthew 18 it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? So the Lord Jesus is talking to the disciples, not to one, but to the disciples. And if you go down there to verse number 18, chapter 18, Matthew, verily I say unto you, that's unto the disciples, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see, friend, it wasn't given specially to Peter. This was given to all the disciples. It was given to them all. And so therefore when Rome claims that this was a special, unique position given to one man, that was given to Peter, whom they claim was their first pope, which is again anti-scripture, but nevertheless, it's not true when you read the whole of the scriptures. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 20. And in John's Gospel, chapter 20, go to verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were all the disciples glad that they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Notice every one of them. This was the disciples that were gathered together. This wasn't one. This was the company of his disciples. Look at verse 23. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Not to Peter. This was not some special authority, something that was given only to Peter. But then Rome, not to be outdone, she says, but hold on a wee second. But did the Lord Jesus Christ not say to Peter, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, feed my sheep and feed my lambs, in other words, feed my flock? Was that not a special commission that was given on to Peter and not given to the rest of the disciples? Was it? What's the answer to that, friend? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. And when you turn to 1 Peter, this claim that they said is simply and solely for Peter. And therefore this gives him a special position amongst the apostles. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says this. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. He says, I'm just one of you. I'm also an elder. And a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Mark verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And Peter's saying, listen, to the elders, he said, listen, I want you, because this is what God desires you as elders, because I'm just an elder. He said, feed the flock, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. Not just Peter. Peter said, this is a responsibility for every one of God's children. The facts of Peter. But quickly, the failures of Peter. If Peter, my friend, if the Lord Jesus was saying, thou art Peter, and upon you, Peter, I'm building my church, my friend. And Rome says, and Peter was an infallible, the first infallible pope, then there's a serious problem. We have a serious problem. Because God reveals Peter to us. And in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 16, the very chapter that we read, if you go back there a moment, Matthew's Gospel chapter 16, go right down there to verse number 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke Christ, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Christ was telling him, I'm going to the cross, I'm shedding my blood, I'm dying as your substitute there. And Peter says, be it far from thee, Lord. I'm rebuking you, Lord. What did Jesus say, friend? If this was supposed to be the infallible Peter. Verse 22. Peter took him and began to rebuke him and said, be it far. Verse 23. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Now the interesting thing, oh friend, is this. The Holy Ghost knew exactly what Rome would seek to do and how they would try to twist the scripture and point that somebody other than Jesus was the head of the church and somebody other than Jesus was the rock. And isn't it interesting, the very place that they claim that Christ gave a special position unto Peter, it's just a few verses down that Jesus rebukes Peter and says, you get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God. You're not infallible. He said, listen, thou art an offense unto me. You're an offense to me. He said, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but thou savorest the things that be of man. The failures of Peter. Turn to chapter 17. When you come into chapter 17, you read the story of the transfiguration. And friend, I must be honest, it wasn't until I was coming to this message and preparing for it, I didn't see this before. But it says in verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with Jesus. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son. This is God speaking. And God the Father speaking, he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And he said, hear ye him. Now notice what Peter tried to do there. Peter said, let us make three tabernacles. I want to make one for you, Lord. And I want to make one for Moses. And I want to make one for Elijah. He was putting Jesus on the level of Moses and Elijah. And a voice from heaven spoke. And God rebuked Peter that day. And this is what he said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark these words. Hear ye him. That's the only one that matters. And people today, I want to tell you, they're trying to level Christ out with all the rest of them. And they're saying, oh yes, you know, the Lord Jesus was a good man. Let me tell you, friend, he wasn't a good man. He was the God man. They say that Jesus Christ is a mediator. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is not only a mediator. He is the only mediator between God and man. They tried to demean Christ and to put Christ on the level with all others. Let me tell you, my friend, listen. He is not on the level of all others, because God says the day shall come that before Christ and Christ alone, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And Peter put Jesus on the same level with Moses and Elias. Let us make three tabernacles, Lord. Just one for you and one for Moses, and we'll give one to Elias. And God spoke from heaven. He said, Peter, this is my beloved Son. He says, hear ye him. And friend, tonight, let me say this. He's the one you need, sinner. Turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. When you come to chapter 26, and because of time, listen, you go to verse number 31. Then said Jesus unto them. Do you remember they were in the upper room together? The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to them, and then they went into the garden, left the upper room. But verse 31, then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, verse 33, mark this, though all men should be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Verse 34, Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, Peter, thou shalt deny me thrice. You know, the Lord has rebuked Peter because Peter is full of self-confidence. Oh yes, I believe that Peter meant this. He said, Lord, you know, you can count on me. Though everybody else should be offended, yet I won't be offended. You can count on me, Lord. And the Lord Jesus said, this night, Peter, you're going to deny me thrice. Verse 35, Peter said unto him, you see, Peter couldn't keep quiet. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Still full of self-confidence. Still full of the flesh. That Peter was the infallible Peter, friends, let me tell you. There's trouble here. Because Peter said to the Lord, listen, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Go down to verse 48. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I will shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came and laid hold on Jesus and took him. Verse 51. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Who was that, friend? Who was that that did it? Who was the one with the sword? Peter. He said, it doesn't say that there. Just keep your hand there. Go to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 18. And in John's Gospel, chapter 18, if you go to verse number 10, it says this. Verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me. Shall I not drink it? And once again, we see the failures of Peter as he takes a sword in the flesh and cuts off the servant's ear. You go to Gethsemane. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, he said, Peter, and to James and John, he said, can you not watch with me 1 hour? He said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And it says in verse 39, and Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Go on down the chapter, friend. Go down to chapter to verse 69. And it says here, Now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came to him and said, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." And he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid said unto him, and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said unto Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse, to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. What did Jesus say to Peter in Matthew 16? "Thou art Peter." That little stone. That unstable stone. And friend, read the story. And that's exactly what he was. Did Jesus build his church upon an unstable stone? No, praise God. He built the church on Christ himself. The chief cornerstone. My last thought is this, as I close. We've looked at the facts of Peter. We've looked at the failures of Peter. But friend, listen, don't forget the faith of Peter. In Acts chapter 4. On the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, of course, you notice that Peter stood up and he preached. The blessed power of the Spirit of God came upon them, and Peter preached in the power of the Spirit of God. And then you'll find in Acts chapter 3 that as Peter, after the healing of the man that was lying there at the gate of the temple, the hour of prayer, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." And the man got up and praised God. He was gloriously healed. And then, of course, they were put in prison. But notice in Acts chapter 4 these words. Verse number 10. "Be it known unto you all, that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." You see, the people looked at Peter, and they looked at John, and they thought that they had done something. This man was healed. This has to be a man. And my, they came running to Peter, and they're about to worship Peter and John. And Peter stands before them, and he said, "Listen, be it known unto you, listen, that by the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which you set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." And then he said this, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby ye must be saved." And friend, what Peter did was simply point men and women to Jesus. Peter's faith was in Christ. Christ is the rock. Christ alone is the only way to heaven. If you're in the service tonight and you say, "Well, listen, I never believed that Peter was a rock," but let me ask you a question. Do you believe in the Son of the living God? Have you your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ?
Are you resting upon the finished work of Jesus Christ alone as your way to heaven? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And maybe you're in this service tonight, friend, and listen, you're trusting in the church, or you're trusting in your baptism, or you're trusting in your confirmation, or you're trusting in your preacher, or you're trusting in your good works, and you're going to hell with all of those things. Neither is there salvation in any other outside of Christ. There is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friend, you must be saved tonight. You must be saved. And if you're ever going to get to heaven, you must be saved. And the only Savior is Jesus. For thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We sang tonight, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Will you trust him? Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. And we pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou would, our God, open our eyes. Blessed Holy Spirit, open hearts. Realize that left to man, man can never save himself. For man at best is a sinner, lost and unclean. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, in the closing seconds, will you look to Jesus tonight? Will you trust him? There is no salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And friend, if you're not saved, then you're lost. And if you're lost, you're on your way to hell. And that for all eternity. Just as I am without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. And if there's one tonight in the service, dear unsaved person, or listening into this service across the World Wide Web, I'm not inviting you to church tonight. I'm inviting you to Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ. Will you trust him? If your heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If there's a soul honestly before God and you're saying, Lord, I want to be saved. If there's someone backslidden and cold in heart and you say, oh God, I want to get back. As our heads are bowed as we sing the verse, would you slip that hand above your head? Indicate that desire. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am without one plea. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, in the closing second of the meeting, is there one in this gathering before God honestly will say, Lord, I want to be saved. Oh God, I want to be restored. Just as your head is bowed and eyes closed, would you lift that hand toward heaven just to indicate that desire? Lamb of God, I come. I come. And we're here tonight to help you. I'm going to the minister's room in a moment, and there I'll have the Word of God in my hand, and I'd gladly open the Scriptures and show you God's way of salvation, but I beg in God's name, don't go away without Jesus. He's your only answer. He's your only Savior. Don't miss Him. Heavenly Father, give deciding grace tonight. Bring the sinner to Jesus. Restore the fallen. Bring them back to their first love. And give your people grace to stand for Thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.